Today we want to think on the subject, freedom is costly. And of course, this is Memorial Day weekend. As we think of Memorial Day, we think of the multitudes who served to protect the freedoms that we are privileged to enjoy as Americans. We also think of the thousands upon thousands who have died through the years in the numerous wars that the United States has been engaged in. Let me read an article in the Daily Bread on Sunday, October 9th, 2011. And this was a documentary on World War I, and it involved Britain, not the USA. However, it is a reminder of the great cost of war in the lives of many. Let me read it. During a documentary on World War I, the narrator said that if Britain's casualties in the war to end all wars were marched four abreast past London's War Monument, the procession would take 7 days to complete. This staggering word picture set my mind spinning at the awful cost of war. While those costs include monetary expense and destruction of property and economic interruption, none of these compare to the human cost. Both soldiers and civilians pay the ultimate price, multiplied exponentially by the grief of the survivors. Yes, war is costly. For America, the cost did not begin with World War I. It goes way back to the beginning of our country. And I have an article that I printed off, and I want to just read part of one little part of it. It said, in American wars from 1775 to 1991, and of course this article goes back quite a ways, those in U.S. military service during wartime totaled 41,891,368. And the battle deaths amounted to 651,022. Now that's a lot of people. These are just a few of the men and women who willingly pledged and gave their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor for the cause of liberty. Many continue, even today, to sacrifice greatly to honor that pledge. And this is true not only of our men and women in the military, but also for men and women in different levels of government. It is also true of multitudes of concerned citizens who work hard to promote and elect men and women with strong moral standards, and who believe that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, as we see in Proverbs 14:34, and who believe that God, not only government, makes a nation strong and prosperous and successful, and who are quick to call their representatives and senators to and express their desire concerning a certain piece of legislation. Yes, freedom is costly. Are we thankful for the freedom that we have as Americans? Do we just enjoy it, or are we engaged at some level or degree in preserving it. Is this freedom costing us anything at all? As we think of freedom, let us remember that the Bible tells us of a freedom that is far greater than the freedom that we have in America, and that is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. There are many living in different parts of the world where they cannot fully gather for worship as we do, and who will have their Bible and other Christian literature taken from them and destroyed if it is found, and who will be imprisoned or beaten or even put to death if they put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and who will be disowned and disinherited and even considered dead if they become a Christian. Yes, these are freer than many in America, for when they came to Jesus Christ and placed their trust in Him, their sin was forgiven, and they are no longer under bondage to sin. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, concerning Christ, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So without Christ, we are all in bondage to sin, but Christ came to deliver us and set us free. Remember what Jesus taught back in John chapter 8? In John chapter 8, excuse me, verses 32 and 36, we read this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So without Christ, man is in spiritual bondage. With Christ, man is free. And as Jesus said, "You are free indeed." So in order to have a free country and enjoy the freedoms we do, many have paid a great price. And this freedom that we have as a nation was very costly. And likewise, excuse me, in order for us to have spiritual freedom, Christ had to pay a great price. Hebrews 2:9 says, "He had to taste death for every man." And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Yes, this freedom was very costly. Even though freedom in Christ is free for the taking and is received as a gift without any cost to ourselves, what are we doing to make this news known to others? Man without Christ is in bondage and needs the forgiveness and freedom that Christ freely offers. What are we doing to make this good news known to others? Is there a cost on our part that others might know? In Hebrews chapter 10, Verse 14, we read this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the word preacher means someone to proclaim the message or someone to tell them. Again, I want to read an article from the Daily Bread on Friday, May 25th, 2012. And the key verse was 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. And then the article went like this. Before my husband and I travel, we go to the bank and trade in our U.S. dollars for the currency of the country we will be visiting. We do this so we can pay for expenses while we're away from home. When we become Christians, another kind of exchange takes place. Our lives are like currency that we convert from one medium to another. We trade our old life for a new one so that we can begin spending ourselves in a different kingdom. Instead of spending ourselves for the causes of this world, we are able to start spending ourselves for the cause of Christ. The Apostle Paul is a good example of this difference. After his dramatic conversion on the way to Damascus, as we see in Acts 9, he began spending his life in a dramatically different way. Instead of pursuing Christians to imprison and kill them, he began pursuing non-Christians to convert them to Christ. Then he spent the rest of his life for their welfare, and he wrote to the church at Corinth, I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, as we read in 2 Corinthians 12:15. And everything he did was for the edification of his spiritual children. How was his life spent? What was the cost for the Apostle Paul? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with the end of verse 23 through verse 28, we read this. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death or facing death often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. In other words, 39 times. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep or out in the ocean somewhere. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, going without food, in cold and nakedness, not being fully clothed like he needed to be in the temperature. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. Yes, the cost for Paul was very great. and he did what Jesus said should be true of a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. Back in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, we read this. Luke 9, 23 and 24. And he said to them, "If a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." Yes, freedom is costly. What has it cost us that others might be truly free? I want to read the story of a Christian boy in Turkey. And this isn't a frequent story. I found this back in 2012. But it's about a Christian boy in Turkey. And here's how it reads. Hussein fumbled excitedly with the tiny clasp to his silver necklace. Then he fastened it around his neck and proudly straightened the cross pennant that symbolized his Christian faith. Hussein's parents would have been alarmed if they had known their 9-year-old son was about to publicly proclaim his Christianity by wearing the necklace to school. But Hussein did not understand the potential consequences. He wanted his teachers and friends to know that he was no longer a Muslim. He loved Jesus and wanted them to experience the same joy and peace that he had. Christians are unwelcome in many parts of Turkey, despite government claims and a constitutional guarantee of religious freedom. Islamic extremists attack Christians and their churches. Evangelists are arrested and jailed for sharing their faith with Muslims, and those accused of persecuting Christians often go unpunished. Hussein's father, Hakim, had been an Islamic scholar studying the Quran in Iran and Syria, but his questions about Islam went unanswered. He searched for truth in the Bible and then came to faith in Jesus Christ. Later, he started taking his children to church. Hussein was attracted to Christianity the first time he went to church with his father. "I felt so alive hearing the hymns and singing the songs in the church," Hussein says. "I felt I had learned more about this. I was so joyful, and I thought this might be my last time in the church. So I opened the hymnal and thought about tearing one of the pages out and keeping it. I did not take it, but I wanted to so badly." That's how Hussein's journey of faith began. And 1 year later, he was ready to share Jesus with his classmates, and he decided the silver cross necklace would be his witnessing tool. It's not the physical cross, it's the meaning of the cross that is important. And Hussein says, "It is a beautiful thing. I wanted people to ask me about it, and then I could tell them about Christ." But when his classmates saw the cross, some of them spit and swore at Hussein. They called him a kafir, meaning an infidel, for embracing the religion of the West. Hussein, after one of Hussein's sisters saw him wearing the cross necklace, she told her parents, "Hussein is telling everyone that we are Christians." And Hakim, the father, scolded his son. "Don't tell people that you have become a Christian," he warned. "You don't want us to get into trouble." Hussein's parents forbade him from wearing the cross to school, but they later decided they were wrong to force their son to suppress his Christian faith. "We were trying to prevent conflicts with others, but we came to the realization that we were the ones with the problem, not Hussein. So we decided to let Hussein be open about our Christianity." Hussein's Muslim classmates continued to taunt him. When Hussein warned one of them that he was going to tell the principal about the bullying, the boy threatened him. "He grabbed me by the arm and squeezed my hand and shouted, 'I'm going to shoot you if you tell about this.'" Hussein told his father about the incident, and Hakim confronted the other boy's father. "I thought the father would be concerned about his son's actions," Hakim said, "but instead he called me a kafir, threatened me, and said he would shoot me himself if I pursued action against his son." One day, Hakim saw a gang of boys attacking his son. Some hit Hussein in the head and stomach with their fists, while others threw rocks at him and beat him with sticks. Tears streamed from Hussein's eyes, and he screamed in pain as the boys dragged him along the ground by the shirt. The boys finally ran away when Hakim, the father, interrupted their attack. After seeing the brutal attack, Hakim began to meet his son after school to protect him. He never imagined that Hussein would face even worse treatment from a teacher. When Hussein refused to attend school one day, Hakim asked him if he was still getting beaten up at school, and Hussein admitted that he was. "And by whom?" his father asked. "By my religion teacher," Hussein replied. "The religion teacher is an imam, or Islamic leader, who led worship in the neighborhood mosque. Every student in his class was required to write and recite the Shahada: 'There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet.'" Hussein, however, would not compromise his faith by reciting the Shahada. Annoyed by Hussein's disobedience, the religion teacher hit him with a wooden rod about 2 feet long and as big around as a quarter. Hussein endured repeated beatings for refusing to recite the Shahada. "I don't like saying it," he explained. "It isn't in my heart. It is just meaningless words to me." After suffering more than 3 weeks of beatings by the imam, Hussein began to have severe seizures. When Hakim went to the school to confront the religion teacher, he saw him standing over his students with the rod. The teacher asked Hakim, "Are you aware that your son is wearing a cross? Are you a Christian?" "Yes," Hakim replied. "It is against Islam," the teacher said. Hakim insisted that the teacher explain why he was punishing his Christian son for refusing to recite the Muslim prayer. "Are your beatings permissible?" he asked. "Yes," the teacher replied. "The principal and the parents agree that I should." Hussein's parents transferred him to a different school where he experienced fewer attacks. But Hussein, now 11 at the time this was written, said he would never return to Islam, even if forced to endure worse abuse. "Christ said we would suffer for him," Hussein said. "It's okay to suffer for Christ, and we should be happy to suffer for Christ. The Lord is with me." And that's the end of the article. Yes, the cost is great to have national freedom, but also the cost is great to be a disciple of Christ and share Christ, who alone gives us true freedom, and to sinners who are still lost in their bondage to sin. He'll give them freedom if they come to Christ. Is being an American costly for us? Is being a Christian costly for us? Do we stand true to Christ, His word, and do we make Christ known to others? Is freedom as an American and as a Christian costly to us? If we're faithful Americans, it will be costly. And if we're faithful Christians witnessing, it will also be costly. But we need to be willing to bear any cost for the sake of Christ and for His glory. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the privilege of living in America. And Lord, how thankful we are for the privilege of knowing Christ as our Savior. We thank you that Christ willingly came from heaven to earth and died on the cross in order that the penalty of our sin might be paid and in order that we might have eternal life through faith in Him. And Father, I pray that we would faithfully live for the Lord and that we would faithfully serve Him regardless of the cost. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.